For the past week or so, certainly before Thanksgiving, as I have made my way through the neighborhood, sort of dusk and later, I've noticed, bit by bit, Christmas trees appearing in windows, festively lighted. Tuesday evening, I went to the grocery store, and on my way home, I drove up a street where a whole series of houses had white electric candles at their windows, all decked out for the holidays. I've seen lighted lawn displays and those massive inflated Santa Clauses that are lit. People are getting ready for Christmas. In fact, I've noticed that in our society, there's a way in which Thanksgiving just gently, without any break, slides into the celebration of Christmas. A celebration which begins around now and will continue through Christmas Day. And yet, here we are, in this church, without any visible signs of Christmas. We have blue for Advent. We have our Advent wreath. We're doing something different. In keeping Advent, I think we have a gift. The gift of these weeks, which will lead us to our celebration of Christmas, for we will celebrate Christmas. We will celebrate Christmas for 12 days. But between now and then, we have this season of preparation, this season of getting ready for that celebration. We have the season of Advent with its themes of waiting, of watching, of preparing. The word Advent itself means coming. We are preparing for Jesus to come. And while we are indeed preparing to celebrate Christmas when he comes the first time as a baby among us, we have these weeks at the beginning of Advent to also prepare for when he shall come at the end of time, when he returns in glory, when this age is brought to completion and Jesus comes to judge the living and the dead. Time itself will end, all will be fulfilled, and Jesus will return in glory and the fullness of God's kingdom will finally be ushered in. The return of Christ in glory is rooted in the faithfulness and promise of God, that God will not abandon us to the evil of this world, to the hatred, to the violence of this world. The promise of God will indeed be fulfilled. And it is that same promise that God has made and kept for a very long time, the promise we hear about in the prophets of Hebrew Scripture. Today we hear from the prophet Jeremiah, a prophet who is preaching to the people about how they have turned from God. And in turning from God, they are risking very dreadful things to come. How they will experience the Babylonians coming in and destroying Jerusalem and taking some of them away captive, taking them away from their homeland. And so Jeremiah warns the people, return to God. Today's reading comes from a section of that book, a section which offers consolation. It's in fact called the Book of Consolation. And there's the promise of God that even though the people are taken away, even though Jerusalem is destroyed, God is faithful. That in the midst of death and destruction, God will act. The promise of God will be brought to fulfillment. And so Jeremiah tells us, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah." That though the people now are in exile, though their homeland is in ruins, they will be saved. They will live one day in safety. And in fact, God will raise up a righteous branch for David, the one we know to be Jesus. And so Jeremiah writes these words of consolation to the people in the midst of hopes dashed, of promises they don't see realized. He writes to a people who are in despair. And the despair, I think, is characterized by the absence of hope. The people can't even dare to hope that God will act. The people can't imagine things will be different than they are now. But Jeremiah offers them these words in the midst of their suffering, that God is faithful, and calls the people to imagine a future different from the present. A world where there is indeed safety and peace and righteousness. Now we live some time, quite a long time, after the time of Jeremiah. In fact, we live after that first coming of Jesus, who in his incarnation comes into the world. And we live in this time that is also before the second coming. So we live in this kind of in-between time, between these two advents of Jesus. But we are just like the people of Jeremiah's time, called to live in the hope of that promise of God, that God's promise will be made real in this time, in our world, in this age. And so one of the central symbols of our season of Advent is the Advent wreath, these four candles lit week by week, asserting that Jesus is the light of the world, and we watch as that light grows stronger, as Jesus is coming closer. Now, in this first week, we have this one feeble candle. I mean, I could blow it out from here. It's not much light. And yet, that light can conquer the darkness of despair, the evil of this world. We're called not to lose hope. We're called to trust the strength of that light, even in the face of the horrors of this world, of wars, of violence, of hatred, of attacks on innocents in Paris, of gun violence and people killed in a Planned Parenthood clinic in Colorado. Even in the face of these realities, we as followers of Jesus live by hope and walk by the light of Christ, by that light we see this day. Our gospel today, from the gospel according to Luke, finds Jesus warning us of challenging times to come, of great turmoil in the creation. And Jesus reminds us that people will faint from fear and foreboding of what is coming upon the world. It will be hard. It will be easy to despair and lose hope. But Luke reminds us to stand up, to raise our heads, because our redemption is drawing near. Jesus is coming. And so we are called to not be afraid, to not abandon hope for despair, but to trust God. Trust God to be faithful. And Luke even goes so far as to say, don't be weighed down by the troubles of this life. Don't let the worries of today cause you to lose hope. God is faithful. So Luke tells us to be alert, to be always praying, that we don't let the day when Jesus returns catch us unguarded. And so living by hope, we place our trust in God, in a God who loves us, in a God who will redeem us, in a God who is stronger than all the powers of this world, than any sin or hatred or violence. We walk in the light of Christ, that light that shines to the darkest depths of this world and illumines them with the love of God and drives out all despair. And so we're called to, by that light, look for God to act, to trust that God's promise comes to us even in the midst of this world's injustices and violence, that the light of Christ is stronger than any power in this world, that it will indeed defeat all darkness. And so we have this season of Advent, this holy season of preparation, of watching, of waiting, of praying, in which we are called to trust that God's kingdom does indeed break in your life, in mine, in the life of this community, in the life of this world. And we're called to look for the inbreaking of God's kingdom, for that light shining in the darkness. And then we're called to be bearers of that light, to be instruments of God's love and justice, that God's kingdom will break into this world in and through us, through the lives we live, through our words and our deeds. And so on this day, may we accept this precious gift, the gift of this holy season, this time of preparation, of waiting, of watching. And though it may be difficult to balance the competing interests of celebrating Christmas, of family, of keeping Advent, of work, of school, of all that we do, may we see this opportunity we have to slow down, to take time to watch, time to be silent and to listen. Listen for God who speaks to us in those dark moments, who comes to us in our despair, who brings that light to us. And may we pray without ceasing for God's kingdom to break into this world and be instruments of that reality. And above all, may we be ready, ready to see God at work and attentive to all that God is doing in our lives and in this world. God is acting, and Jesus is coming. Do we expect this? Do we see this happening? And are we ready for God to come among us? Amen.